A scene immortalized by a meme. How many of you have seen a meme with that scene at some point or another? All of this speaks to grace. This idea that one good deed can be immortalized. One good deed it fashions grace. Humility fashions grace. And we'll get into that in this story. I love today's sermon topic, grace. Also because it comes from a pretty challenging passage of Scripture that Stephen read for us earlier. Paul's thoughts in this passage in Ephesians flow on regardless of rules of grammar. He begins sentences and never finishes them. He begins with one construction and halfway through he glides into another. It's a complicated passage for us to digest. But he does all of this movement because the passage is far more a lyric of the love of God than a carefully edited theological exposition. Paul is pouring out his heart to the Ephesian church, and the laws of grammar give way to the wonder of God's grace. Powerful passage. God's grace. God's grace falls short on us most of the time because we are wired for defense. It's instinctual in us to keep us alive. The defense mechanism helps us survive attacks from the enemy, whether real or imagined. We respond to most circumstances in defense to protect us from hurt, from anguish, unmet needs, physical harm, defense. Our defense mechanism acts out of spite. It acts out of anger, negativity, hate, fear, disgust, and it does not distinguish between reality and fantasy. It's our first human and innate response for survival. It's how we engage one another. Have you ever gotten defensive? This means it's going to take work for us to act and live in grace. But it is possible. Paul gives us some pointers, and Jesus gives us some pointers. Something very important in this passage we need to understand when we're reading it is that when Paul speaks of you, Y-O-U, he is speaking to the Gentiles. When he speaks of us, he is speaking of the Jews, his people. So he's describing how terrible this Christless life would be for both Jew and Gentile, all of us. A Christ-filled life is a life filled with grace. That is the mark of God's love for us. Grace. Also important in this passage is the word that Paul uses for sin. Hamartia. Hamartia gives us this idea of missing the mark. It's a miss. It's living in the flesh. It's missing the mark. It's not living into who God has created you to be in Christ, created in God's own image, a reflection of Christ, the Imago Dei, living in grace. If we are living in the flesh, as Paul describes in this passage and in Romans 7 and others, it's not the Spirit of Christ. We are living from our defense response, not the Spirit of Christ. We only see the negative in ourselves. We only see the negative in others, and that's missing the mark. When we do, it's easy for us when we live this way to point out how others seem to miss the mark, particularly those who are closest to us. Is this familiar to you? Perhaps your spouse, who isn't exactly who you want them to be. Perhaps your children, who don't behave the way you expect them to behave. Or maybe that Christian who doesn't live their life the way you think they should be living their life in Christ. In fact, they may not even be Christian. Is any of this stuff familiar? This is your defense mechanism. One of the reasons is when we focus on the hamartia of others, we feel safer because we don't have to look at the hamartia of our own life. We don't have to deal with it. It may manifest itself in denial. This is when we say things like, yes, I'm a sinner too, but... And you remember this passage. We describe the perceived sin of others. You remember this passage that is in Luke. It says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I tithe twice a week. I fast twice a week. I tithe a tenth of my income. You remember this story, right? How does that end up? The person who prayed that way, who spoke that way, is not the person who walked away justified. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is grace. The task before us is to walk humbly and not see ourselves as better than any other person, but as equals. That's the first step in grace. When we think that for some reason we deserve easier access to Christ than others who live differently than us, that's not the point. The encouraging thing is that Paul thought that way once, that we deserve easier access as Christ followers. Paul once thought he knew the way God provided salvation to people. His view was that a few might be saved and set aside as God's people as long as they followed the way of God's law and the tribe. In light of his experience with Christ, Paul changes his mind. In all his encounters and his visions and being spoken to by Holy Spirit, he changed how he viewed God's love. He now knew the name of the game was grace. He came to see that he and any Jew, as well as any Gentile, needed God's grace. And we need to show grace to one another. This is what he was trying to tell the church of Ephesus. He came to see God offered such grace through Jesus Christ. And this is significant not only for our eternal salvation, but for fulfilling God's design for heaven on earth. It opened the way for Paul to re-envision how to relate to all kinds of people. He became the messenger of grace, an ambassador of grace in Christ. He spoke of grace to all the churches he worked with. How often do you offer grace? To your spouse? To your children? To your neighbor? To other church members? It's more likely that we default into this idea of molding them into our idea of how they should be and how they should be living, shaming them, correcting them, and trying to make them into who you think they should be as opposed to who God created them to be, the Imago Dei. And we muddy the water for them. They respond in different ways. Some resist. They fight back. Some freeze. They just go on living the best they know how. And some retreat. They leave the relationship and find one that doesn't involve being dehumanized. And we wonder. We wonder why the Christian church is not doing so well these days. We've left grace behind. We've exalted ourselves over the rest of the world. We've chosen arrogance instead of humility. Grace involves humbling yourself and being willing to allow others into your life. No matter who they are or what they believe, one of the most powerful ways Holy Spirit speaks to us and convicts us of our missing the mark, of our hamartia, is through the voice of others. We don't allow that voice into our life too often. This comes with the grace. This comes through community, a community of grace, an idea of living grace together and with one another. And it starts within you and in your home, in your neighborhood, in our church. Living in community means living in such a way that others can access me and influence my life, that I can get out of myself and live the lives of others, understanding who people are. By community, I don't mean this special kind of structure, but a network of relationships and humanity in all forms. In today's world, we live in a society that's not built on community and cooperation, but we live in a society built on individuality, greed, competition, and we're left with an oppressive economic system, unnecessary suffering, dehumanization of people, and environmental devastation. But here's the good news. Through grace, God will always bring more life and wholeness out of seeming chaos and death. God will always bring more life and wholeness out of seeming chaos and death through grace. Seems to be the very job description and full-time occupation of God. It comes through this form of grace. Romans 4:17 says, God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. We sang about this earlier. A song about grace, bringing chaos, bringing order out of chaos. Through grace, we have hope for a different present. And hope for a different future, a transition to a society less destructive, relationships that are more peaceful and more whole in Christ. Don't you want that? Living in grace grounds the Christian ethic of resistance and resentment that fuels all the angst within us and the tension within others. Building communities of grace as opposed to the surrounding society of emperor worship was precisely Paul's mission strategy in all of these churches. Through grace living, Jesus' followers would make the message of God's love and grace more believable. Jesus is Lord rather than Caesar is Lord. Sharing abundance and living in simplicity rather than hoarding wealth. Nonviolence and suffering rather than aligning with power. Forgiveness and grace rather than hatred, resentment, and revenge. Do you see the difference in grace living and flesh living? These are but a few marks of a Christ follower. Paul seems to think that hamartia, our missing the mark, can only be confronted or overcome with grace. Grace for others, and grace for ourselves. Talking to you, you perfectionists, give yourself some grace. Imagine Christ on the cross, naked, beaten, cut open, bleeding. Instead of fighting back, instead of defending himself, he offered grace, vulnerability. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. He took temptation of living in the flesh out of the equation. He laid down his instinct to defend himself, and he opened himself up to be loved or not. He offered grace. And in that grace, he gave even love for his enemies, the love of God, for God so loved the world. Think of a time when you've been given grace. That's not rhetorical. Think about a time when you've been given grace, or if you've been you've given grace to someone else. It changes things, doesn't it? Grace changes everything. Grace has the power to transform lives, yours and others, even ones that have missed the mark. It's not our job to fix people. It's not our job to shame or correct them when they miss the mark. It's our job to walk with them, to walk alongside them, to explore their life with them, to find out how they came to be where they are. It's our job to show grace, and in and through that grace, Holy Spirit then has the space to convict and transform lives. God can create order in a life that is missing the mark if we get out of the way and let grace do its work. Wouldn't you like to experience grace from other people? Then why not begin by showing grace first? Lay down your instinct to be defensive and move towards compassion and grace and humility, even with your worst enemy. I'd like us to close with a responsive reading that I think is pretty powerful for us today. Hubs, do we have that available? I am going to read from Psalms 103 and from Ephesians that we read earlier, and I will read the light print, and I want you to read the dark. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, let us receive God's gift of grace, let us open our hearts to God's grace. Let us open our minds to imagine the impact of God's grace proclaimed in word and deed in our world. Powerful words of God's grace and love. May we find ourselves today and every day a community of grace, persons of grace, in the name of Christ Jesus, who showed us the ultimate grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. It's a concept that falls short on us because it's so hard for us to practice. But may you so challenge us today and convict us by your Holy Spirit of those in our lives that we need to show grace to. Whether it's someone else or ourselves, allow us to begin to taste your grace and taste it in such a way that we become consumed by it, that all we do is pass on your grace to one another and to those in our lives, even those people we consider the worst in our lives. And God, may that grace convict us and change us and convict others, and the world become a better place because we live in your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name, in which all of this is possible. Amen. We'll have a response as we do each week. I'll stand here at the front as we sing this song of benediction. If you have something you would like to make public, I will be here. If you just need a word of prayer with me, I'll be here as well. You may just need to stand there and sing and allow Holy Spirit to convict you through that. Whatever you need to do, let's stand and respond to God accordingly.
Father, we'll lift your name.